Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. As you and I now make our way into the fifth week after the Epiphany, perhaps you maybe heard someone along the way say that as soon as you see green up in the front of the church, you're in kind of those generic seasons. The focus isn't quite as sharp in Epiphany. Pentecost throughout the summer is the other time when you regularly see the green. Not as sharp as perhaps the focus is in Advent, as you and I focus our attention on Jesus' coming, both in Bethlehem and at the end of time. Certainly not as focused as Christmas, where our attention is aimed at that manger, and you and I marvel at the Word made flesh. There's a definite focus in Lent, as you and I see Jesus take on sin and death and Satan, and as we walk with Him to that cross, and He ends in that tomb. Obviously, Epiphany is not nearly as focused as Easter is. Even though Easter can last 7 weeks, you and I are focusing in on that amazing diamond, that amazing gem, and we study it from every aspect and facet as you and I marvel at the fact that Jesus is not still in that grave, but rose triumphant to guarantee we have the forgiveness of sins. Epiphany isn't that focused. And yet there is a focus. There is a point. As you and I gather throughout these Sundays in Epiphany, we are allowed to see Jesus shine. Jesus, who is the light of the world, step into this world and step into His ministry and reveal to you and to me by what He says and by what He does that He is Son of Man and Son of God, that He is the one who is the perfect Savior, just as you and I need Him to be. And so with that as our aim for this morning, you and I focus on this amazing gift that as Jesus lets His light shine, as He carries out the work of being the light of the world, He often does that by using you. Jesus said, "Let your light shine so that others can see and bring glory to the Father in heaven." As you and I rejoice this morning that we're the ones who get the shine, we turn our attention to the second lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul helps us as you and I let your light shine. And he reminds us that it's rather quite simple. Let your light shine on Jesus. That's what Paul did. No matter where he went and no matter what he was doing, he was simply shining his light so that others could see who Jesus was. As we've learned over the last couple of weeks now, he arrives in the city of Corinth, a congregation that has got some difficulties going on, some divisions that are taking place. He's working to refocus them, put their attention back on Jesus, reunite them once again. But it's also helpful to keep in mind, and this probably seems somewhat obvious, but Corinth was a Greek city. Just a short 400 years before Paul was walking around in Greece, there were people like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates who were busy thinking, busy debating, busy working on forms and formulas to try to determine what's real and what isn't. All of those deep thinkers and all of that philosophy, and Greece had kind of taken on that culture, a culture of wisdom, a culture of logic and rhetoric and working to share and dig deeper into this idea of wisdom. They loved to sit around. In fact, they were willing to let other things go. Don't even bother going into work today, because the most important thing to do is just to sit down with each other and let's just debate. Let's just talk. I want to hear your ideas. I'll share my ideas. Let's dig into this wisdom. And let's use all of the logic and all of the rhetoric in order to share that wisdom. Just before he arrived at Corinth, Paul was in the city of Athens, the capital city of Greece and probably the capital of so-called wisdom. And he was there with limited success, at least humanly speaking. Now here's another fairly important city. Corinth lays a mere 40 miles away. It's also a rather prominent town in Greece. It is a major trade route. Lots of ideas going in and out. Lots of people there. As he comes and as he talks to these people, will he have the same sort of limited success? Well, it would seem so, because Paul didn't play by the rules. As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom, in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember last week, Paul had made the comment that according to the world's way of thinking, not many of them were wise. But that doesn't mean that they didn't think along those lines, and that doesn't mean that they weren't part of their culture. They would also tend to look at people and see if they sounded impressive. And Paul apparently didn't. He says, I didn't use this logic. I didn't use these surpassingly great words. I didn't come with flourishing human logic. In fact, when he came to them, he probably could have been accused of not being one of those so-called well-rounded individuals. He only knew one thing. That's the only thing he could talk about. Only thing he seemed to know anything about. He didn't come with that persuasive speech as he talked about Jesus. And not only did he probably not sound all that impressive, but by the way he describes himself, perhaps he didn't look all that impressive either. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. What was his reception going to be? Was it going to be similar as in Athens? Were the people going to listen? Or would they just dismiss him as being unwise and foolish? And so with some fear and some trembling, he steps before the people. Now, I don't know if we necessarily in our own society claim to be quite like the ancient Greeks were, revolving around the idea of wisdom. But I do believe that we like wisdom. People like to have knowledge, and we like to share those basic ideas. And just like those ancient Greeks, we too tend to focus in and see if these people sound impressive and do they look impressive. We like those people who seem to know what they're talking about. I'm not sure I can actually put my finger on it, and I don't think I can explain it very well. But at times I get the feeling, as you hear like these motivational speakers, or if someone is trying to really stir things up and get people going in a certain direction or for a purpose or a plan, that they use words that are kind of vague, and yet they sound intelligent. Words that are filled with emotion, words that are filled with passion, words that perhaps are purposely vague in order for you to kind of instill into them whatever meaning you got, and as they kind of get you up and running and get you motivated, then you can grab onto that word and you can bend it and you can twist it and you can make it do what you want it to do and say what you want it to say. And it sounds impressive. They sound learned. They sound like they are impassioned about what they're doing, and they just motivate us and drive us along. And when we hear somebody like that, we say, that person's smart. I'm going to listen to them. Maybe I don't even understand what the word means, and so therefore they must be smart. And I'm going to listen. They look impressive. Well-dressed, well-groomed, everything is polished and perfect. Their presentation has all the bells and the whistles into it. They must be smart people. They must have some kind of wisdom. And we tend to listen and follow. But what's the focus? What are they trying to shine their light on? Much of the human wisdom that you and I deal with in this world is not aimed at Jesus, is not focused on Christ. But it's focused on your attitude, and your ability, your feelings, your intentions, your skills, your desires. And they focus in on what you and I claim to be that indelible human spirit, and we just make things better. There's a reason Paul did what he did. You know that Paul was well educated. You know that he wasn't someone who only knew one thing. You read his letters and he understood logic. He was able to lay things out in a logical fashion so that you could understand what he was saying. But he tells us the reason why he came, not using wise human language, and why he came looking weak and trembling. My message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. He didn't cater to the wisdom speak of his day. He didn't come with flowery terms and big terminology and running circles around them with logic. He didn't do those things because he wanted to be there to let his light shine. Not on himself, but on Jesus. And that's why we're here, right? You and I are here to talk about one thing, and one thing only. We're here to talk about our Savior. Rejoice in His love. Just like the Apostle Paul and just like those Corinthians, you and I rejoice that we are able to come and ponder that amazing testimony of God, that amazing mystery of God. You know the mystery that the philosophers of this world and the wisdom of this age have been wrestling with forever. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's my purpose? Why aren't things getting better? Why do we continue to struggle? Why can't we find cures for these diseases? Why can't we control violent outbreaks? Why are there all these natural disasters? Why are all these things going on in this world that make life so difficult? And people are busy digging deep inside themselves, looking hard to find things, working on talking and rallying around some plan and laws or whatever it may happen to be, but you know the mystery. You know why all of this is taking place. It's called sin. Ever since our first parents rebelled against God and determined that they could do a better job and they could know more than Him, we've been following suit. Following our own wisdom and our own strength. Looking for our own ways to make things better. And yet we know that because of sin, sin in general in a sin-fallen world, and my own sin that I commit against my Lord and my God, we understand the mystery of why this world is falling apart. But that's not the only part of the mystery. But once you understand that and you understand what sin has done to this world, you also know that mystery, that testimony of God that talks about your salvation. You also know the mystery that someone has come and has fixed it. Someone has come and taken care of the problem. Your Lord and your Savior stepped in. The light of the world came and was born and He lived and He died. He did everything necessary to satisfy the anger and justice of the Holy God. He made the payment price and set you free. Yes, we still deal with some of the difficulties and we may still have to struggle with the illnesses and the problems. But you know what comes next. And because you know that you're forgiven, and you know that you are God's child, Jesus now gives you the amazing task of being lights. Let your light shine. You get to reflect to others who are probably still struggling with the human wisdom idea of things, and you get to reflect to them who Jesus is, and what He's done, and what He accomplishes. Let your light shine. You know the mystery. And as you let that light shine, you don't need to be lazy about it. You don't have to think, well, you know, God's probably got it all under control anyway, so I don't have to try all that hard. No, we want to shine as radiant as we can. We don't have to come off sounding ignorant. We just want the spotlight on Jesus. Let your light shine on Jesus. Isn't that the best way to let your light shine? Not so much because you want people to think about you and pay attention to what you're doing. You want them to think about Jesus and pay attention to what He's done. Because what He did for me, that I'm now reflecting to you, He also did for you. What an amazing thing to stand on. There is our strength. There is our foundation as you and I rejoice in what our Lord and our God has accomplished. That's why Paul says our faith doesn't rest on human wisdom. It rests on God's power. And so we let our light shine. And we let it shine on Jesus. Don't be afraid of what reaction you might get. Don't worry if others might think that you're kind of a one-idea person, that you only got one thing you want to talk about. That'd be a good thing. But keep the focus where it needs to be. No matter where you are in life or what you're doing in life, you and I have that amazing opportunity to let our lights shine so that others can keep their focus where it needs to be on Jesus, their Lord and their Savior. Amen.